In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Let us kneel. O most loving and kind Father, in satisfaction for all my sins and for those of the whole world, and in reparation for my sloth, my tepidity, my neglect, and my disordered love, I offer Thee that sacred wound in the heart of Thy Son, the blood and the water which flowed therefrom, and the boundless love wherewith He didst love Thee. I beseech Thee that Thou wouldst pour from that sacred wound into my soul a love most pure, most intense, most perfect and eternal, wherewith I may love Thee with all my heart and praise Thee in all things and above all things. Grant that I may think of Thee only, that I may seek Thee only, that I be attached to Thee only, wish to please Thee only, and that I may wholly employ all the faculties of my body and soul to love Thee and glorify Thee. Amen. Almighty Father, most loving and kind, pour forth from the sacred wound of the heart of Thy Son into the souls of all our fathers, beginning with the Pope, bishops and priests, and the fathers present here today at Holy Mass, a love most pure and ardent, wherewith we may love Thee with all our hearts and praise Thee in all things and above all things. Grant that we, fathers, may think of Thee only, that we may seek Thee only, that we be attached to Thee only, wish to please Thee only, and that we may wholly employ all the faculties of our body and soul to love Thee and glorify Thee. Amen. If I asked you, what is the greatest evil in the world, what might you respond? Some might respond with war or oppression of the poor. Others might say abortion, the brutal slaughter of innocent babies. Today is the third Sunday after Pentecost, and it's also Father's Day. Perhaps the greatest evil in the world is absent or negligent fathers. There is a real probability that the grotesque sin of abortion taken as a whole, that is, all of the unborn babies that have been massacred over the past 50-some years, is the greatest evil in the history of all mankind. But think about it. Behind every single abortion, there is almost certainly an absent or negligent father. Every unjust war and the oppression of the poor are very often the result of evil, self-serving, or negligent leaders. And good, holy leadership is the primary characteristic of a good father. Good, holy leadership. Self-serving and evil rulers, or fathers, is likely at the root of unjust wars and the oppression of the poor. Now I ask you to think about this. In a significant way, the absence of the Father is the absence of God, because God is our Father. And in God's loving plan, every single father is in some way God's representative, because God is our Father. Hopefully this will begin to help us to appreciate more and more that fatherhood is something most holy. It's not just a given. It's a great gift from God. It's something most holy because God Himself is revealed to us as a Father. Just 2 days ago on the Feast of the Sacred Heart, we heard the following in the Epistle of Holy Mass from Ephesians chapter 3, quote, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity in heaven and earth is named." Close quote. All paternity in heaven and on earth, all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is to be a reflection of God's fatherhood. Now, consider for a few moments the example of our Savior Jesus Christ. His entire saving work is to reveal God the Father and to reveal the Father's love. Think especially of the parable of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15. Today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 15, preparing for the gospel of the prodigal son. It's the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And then soon thereafter comes the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. Jesus is obedient to the Father's will, even unto death, death on a cross. And Jesus is always in communion with His Father. He never does anything without being in a profound communion with His Father. And Jesus' final words on the cross before He dies are, quote, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit," close quote. After ascending into heaven, Jesus Christ leaves fathers in His place to rule, sanctify, and teach in His church, starting with the Pope, the Holy Father, bishops and priests. God gives a father to each Catholic family. And the Father's holy vocation is to rule, sanctify, and teach His family. To rule, sanctify, and teach His family. The great doctors and saints of the first centuries are known to us as the fathers of the church. I'm just giving you these brief examples so that you see the importance of fatherhood given to us by God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." Quoting from the Catechism of the Council of Trent, quote, "The first word which by the order and institution of God we employ in this prayer is Father. Our Savior could indeed have commenced this divine prayer with some other word, conveying more the idea of majesty, such for instance as Lord or Creator. Yet He omitted all such expressions because they might rather inspire fear. And instead of them, He has chosen a term inspiring confidence and love in those who pray and ask anything of God. For what is sweeter than the name Father, conveying as it does the idea of indulgence and tenderness?" Close quote. Already these examples should help us to see that fatherhood is something sacred and it's something essential to our salvation. How do we begin Holy Mass? In nomine Patris, in the name of the Father. The name Father is prayed 4 times in the Gloria in Excelsis Deo at the beginning of Mass. And the holiest prayer of the Mass, the Roman Canon, right after the Sanctus, 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 Holy, 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 the Roman Canon begins, "Te igitur Clementissime Pater. Clementissime Pater, most merciful Father. This is the holiest prayer of the Catholic Church, the holiest prayer that exists, and it begins by invoking God, who is our most merciful Father. So, given how sacred and necessary to our salvation fatherhood is, it makes perfect sense that the devil is going to make an all-out war on fatherhood. And this is especially what's happening and taking place today. Again, absent and negligent fathers. There is so much pain and so much hurt that so many of us carry, whether we realize it or not, because of absent and negligent fathers, because of sins against fatherhood. This is one of the main ways that the devil is going to attack us. And I hope it's obvious to you that absent and negligent fathers certainly applies to our Catholic families, but it also applies to the Catholic Church. That is, the Pope, the bishops, the priests. Divorce, contraception, infidelity in marriage, and pornography. All of these are examples of terrible sins against true fatherhood. Not to even mention the sin of Sodom, another terrible sin against true fatherhood. And therefore, all of these are terrible sins against God Himself, who is our Father. You might be wondering, well, how is pornography a terrible sin against true fatherhood? The Father has to be the first one who is a teacher, and He teaches by example. He has to be the first teacher of His children in the ways of chastity and modesty. The Father has to be chaste. His mind has to be chaste. His heart has to be chaste. His words have to be chaste. He has to be the first one to practice chastity, modesty, and self-control. And pornography undermines all of these. Undermines, obviously, chastity, modesty, self-control. If the Father is becoming a slave of this terrible sin, this terrible vice, how is He going to educate His children in the ways of God and in the ways of purity, which is essential to true fatherhood? The Father has to educate His children, especially educate them in the faith and educate them in the ways of virtue. The husband and father is the head of his family. This is extremely important. Pure Catholic teaching. The husband and father is the head of his family. He's been given this great gift and responsibility from God, who is our Father. There has to be a leader. If there's not a leader, we're going to be lost. And if the leaders are lost, we're also going to be lost. If the leaders are not pure, we're also not going to be pure. If the leaders are not teaching the truth, how are we going to know the truth? And so the husband and father, he's the head of the family. This means that he leads, provides for, and protects his family. He leads his family. He protects his family. He provides for his family. This is what God does. God leads us to heaven, and He leads us to Him. God is guiding us. There's no greater guide in our lives than God. He guides us with His commandments. He guides us through His church. He guides us through the magisterium of the church. That's why He's given us fathers. Starting with the Pope, the bishop, the priest, so that they can lead us to God. And so the father, obviously, then also each Catholic father in his home, he has to be the one to guide his family, provide for his family, protect for his family. That's what God does. God protects us. And He provides for us. Everything that we need, God will provide for us. God is the perfect provider. God is the perfect protector. In the introit for today's Mass, that's what we're imploring, the protection of God. And so that's what the Catholic Father does. He leads, provides for, and protects His family. He rules, sanctifies, and teaches His family. And really, in many ways, ruling, sanctifying, and teaching, I place special emphasis today on sanctifying. The Catholic Father has to sanctify His family. He has to make His family holy. That's the way that God has set up the family. And so this is why I say that perhaps the greatest evil in the world is absent fathers and negligent fathers. Because if there is no head of families, if the fathers are not sanctifying their families, if the fathers are not guiding and protecting and teaching their families, then so much, if not all, is lost. Especially today, I exhort all our fathers, remember, you as a father, you lead. You have to lead your family to God and to heaven. Nothing is more important. And if you're leading your family to God and to heaven, that means you have to lead. That means you have to be in front. You have to be the first one doing that. You have to be the first one leading your wife and your children. This is how you will sanctify your family. And that's your mission, to sanctify your family, to sanctify your wife and children. And remember that the best way to lead is by example. The Catholic father, the Catholic husband and father, he's given special grace from God to lead in terms of prayer, virtue, and living the Catholic faith. So our fathers have to be the first ones praying, practicing penance and mortification, practicing virtue. The fathers are the ones who more than anyone else should be selfless, not focused on themselves and on who's going to serve me, but rather dying to oneself to serve his wife, his children. And obviously the priest to serve the church and to serve his spiritual children. And so, really think about this, fathers. You're the first ones that have to practice virtue. You have to be selfless, patient, not quick to anger, merciful. And the first ones to learn the Catholic faith and live it so that you can teach it to your children. Remember that if God gives one authority, and He gives special authority to the Catholic husband and father, but if God gives one authority, one must not on that account think much of oneself, but rather consider the responsibility laid on one. And so here too, all of our Catholic fathers, and again, first and foremost, the Pope, bishops, and priests, shouldn't be thinking that because they have authority, oh, we're very important. Everybody has to obey us. Kind of like let it get to our heads. Before that, we should be reflecting seriously on the immense responsibility that is placed on us. That's why we've been given authority. Again, so that we can lead souls to God and to heaven. Put very simply, that's why the Catholic Father has authority. To lead souls to God and to heaven. The father should be the first one to love in a truly Christian way. Meaning dying to oneself. I'm convinced that the reason why we have a crisis of love in today's society and in today's church, and there definitely is a crisis of love, very few of the faithful truly know what it means to love. But I'm convinced that we have a crisis of love because there's a crisis in fatherhood. And the father is the first one that has to truly practice Christian love. If he doesn't practice Christian love in his marriage and with his children, how is anyone going to learn what it means to truly love? The husband should love, honor, and respect his wife. He should love and honor his wife as Jesus Christ loves and honors his church. That is, dying to oneself. That's the example that our Savior gives us. His example of love and respect for his wife in the presence of his children will teach them, especially his sons, to respect women in general. The father must educate his children to be good citizens and especially good Catholics. And he must raise them so that they learn, they have to learn the path to heaven and hopefully stay on that path. That's what the father does when he leaves. That's why he's been given authority. That's why fatherhood is something so sacred and something essential to our salvation. Because where is it that we learn the path to heaven? And how are we trained in the virtues so that we can stay on the path to heaven? Very important there is the role of the Catholic father. He has to educate his children in the faith. I'd mentioned a brief announcement. There's much more to say. Later on, we'll try and put little pamphlets that explain it in more detail. But in terms of Catholic modesty, that's part of Catholic fathers have to teach modesty to their children, in particular to their daughters. He's supposed to be teaching them to grow in virtue. The Catholic father has to correct his children. He has to be very vigilant. Fathers, listen again to the words from sacred scripture today, in today's epistle. Take a step in faith and listen again to those words. I wouldn't say it's just a coincidence that we heard them today on Father's Day. The words there are, be vigilant, from the first letter of Peter. Be vigilant because the devil is there like a roaring lion. You have to be extremely vigilant for your children, for your wife and your children. You have to be vigilant over the speech of your children, the way your children dress. Again, modesty and dress. You have to be vigilant and correct if necessary. The speech of your children, the dress of your children. Who are the friends of your children? There's a lot of evil coming. The devil is out there roaring like a lion, looking for someone to devour. This is what it means to protect your family, to provide for your family. You have to be very vigilant over the use of social media on the part of your children. And I strongly recommend that you lean more and more to non-use, because there are great dangers there. And just very briefly, I'll just mention, this is one of the reasons why, in terms of protecting one's children, helping them to grow in virtue, guiding them, leading them, teaching them. This is one reason why today, in today's world, I pretty much think it's impossible to be a good father, obviously also a good mother, to be a good father if one has one's children in public schools. And even right now we have a massive crisis in Catholic schools. Good Catholic parents and a good Catholic father doesn't really have many options left other than homeschooling. But it's a very good option. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's a bad option. But all of this has to do with protecting your children from evil, protecting your children from sin, protecting the innocence of your children, teaching your children virtue, and protecting them from the bad example that is so widespread throughout our society. God has entrusted great treasures to each father. And those great treasures are his wife and his children. The Catholic father and husband should understand his vocation in that way. God has entrusted me with these precious treasures. I'm going to protect these treasures, cherish them, and I'm going to lead them to heaven and to God. All you have to do, fathers, is just think of Saint Joseph. It's incredible when you consider Saint Joseph, when you consider what God did, what God chose to do. This is God's plan. It's not your ideas and it's not my idea. God himself entrusted to the care and protection of Saint Joseph the two most precious things that could possibly ever exist. And that's baby Jesus, the child Jesus, and Mary. He entrusted them to a human father. This is how sacred and important fatherhood is. And so Catholic fathers, take care of your wife and children after the example of Saint Joseph. And help them. Your goal should be, I'm going to help my wife and my children to be like Jesus and Mary. So if your children aren't like little Jesuses, and if your wife is not like Mary, look in the mirror first before complaining to God or yelling at your wife and children. Fathers especially, make efforts to learn from Saint Joseph and grow in your devotion to him. Unfortunately, we don't have them right now, but soon I'll try and put out little booklets on devotion to Saint Joseph so all the fathers can have the little booklet on devotion to Saint Joseph. And just the final few recommendations. Definitely today, and I'd say just also in the days to come, make a special effort to pray for your deceased fathers, all our fathers that are deceased, to pray for them. That's one of the special intentions for Mass today, to pray for our deceased fathers. Many of us may need to forgive our fathers, whether they're alive or deceased. Pray and ask God for the grace of healing and forgiveness. If our fathers have fallen short of their noble vocation, it's very important that we do our part to pray for them and to also do our best to forgive them. And one final recommendation here is to the wives and mothers. If you're thinking, well, my husband doesn't do any of this, or if you're thinking of many of the sins, let's say, of the fathers or husbands in your lives, really make an effort to set that aside, at least for a little bit of time. And what I mean, what you have to try to do is this. You have to try to recognize that when all is said and done, God remains our Father, and He remains your Father. And this is an incredible grace that all of us have received, regardless of how good or bad our own biological natural fathers have been. It's so important that we as Catholics really make an effort to look more in faith to God our Father. He's the one who's created us. He provides always for us. He protects us. Everything beautiful in our Catholic religion, He's given us. We're a little short right now on good bishops and good priests, but He's the one who's given us good bishops, good priests. All of the holy things in our Catholic religion that help us in our faith are gifts from God our Father, because He's our Father, because He loves us. All our beautiful prayers are given to us because God is guiding us and teaching us how to pray. He's guiding us to Him, to heaven. Even if your father didn't or doesn't really give you a good example or is not leading you to God into heaven, God our Father is. Open your eyes and open your heart. And what especially I encourage the women to do is this. First thing to do is pray for your fathers and pray for your husbands. Pray to Saint Joseph for them. And persevere in that prayer. And then also realize that God has also given you great grace as a wife and mother. And you focus especially on being faithful to your vocation. And trust that God is going to handle the rest. Even if you're carrying a very heavy cross. And I know there are many, many women who in the past and now in the present carry a heavy cross because of the sin of absent and negligent fathers, absent and negligent husbands. But you can't lose hope, and you have to make every effort to fight against any kind of bitterness because of that. You focus on what God is asking of you, and you trust that God is going to help you, because with God, nothing is impossible. And He truly is our Father who has an infinite love for each one of us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.